All right, everyone, get ready for a deep dive. Today, we're tackling a Louisiana property law case, McCormick v. Harrison. It's a fascinating story about these things called servitudes, which basically means you have the legal right to use someone else's property. Imagine that.
You know, McCormick v. Harrison is a really great example of just how crucial clear contract language can be. It shows how seemingly small details can lead to huge consequences, especially in Louisiana. They've got this unique legal system based on the civil code, you see.
Right. Okay. So let's paint a picture for our listeners. We've got Donald Harrison, a guy who loves horse racing, so much so that when he sells a property with a racetrack, he includes this provision that says he can keep using that track for a monthly fee of $100. For as long as he wants. What a deal, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that, my friend, is what we call a personal servitude of right of use. It gives Harrison this legal right to use part of someone else's property for a very specific purpose. And here's the key. It's tied to him personally, not to any land he owns.
Okay, interesting. So the property changes hands a few times, and eventually it ends up with our other main character, McCormick. Harrison keeps paying his $100 every month until, bam, he misses a payment in October 2004. McCormick sees an opportunity and decides to file a lawsuit to get Harrison off the track.
And here's where the plot thickens. The trial court actually sides with McCormick. It looked like that missed payment might void the whole agreement.
Wait, so missing just one payment could completely wipe out Harrison's right to use the track? Forever. It doesn't seem right.
Well, you're right to be skeptical. The case then went to the appeals court, and they overturned that initial ruling. And that's where Louisiana's distinct legal system really comes into play.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me what's so special about the way Louisiana handles cases like this.
Well, Louisiana, as you know, follows a civil law system. What this means is that judges rely a lot more heavily on the actual written laws, you know, those codified in the Louisiana Civil Code, rather than just looking at previous court decisions like they do in a lot of other states.
So how exactly did this civil law approach affect the McCormick v. Harrison case?
Well, the appeals court honed in on a very specific phrase in the original agreement. For as long as he desires. They determined that Harrison's right to use the track wasn't actually dependent on those monthly payments. Missing one wouldn't just erase his fundamental right to use it.
So it's like there are two separate parts to the agreement. He has the right to use the track, and then separately, he has to pay for that use.
You got it. The monthly payments were basically seen as consideration for using the property, not a condition for keeping that right. Think of it like, oh, I don't know, a gym membership. You miss a payment, you might owe some money, but you can still technically use the gym, right?
That's a really good analogy. It makes it much clearer. So what happened after the appeals court reversed the initial ruling?
Now, this is where things get even more interesting. Remember how McCormick blocked Harrison from actually accessing the racetrack for a whole month? Well, the appeals court saw that move as, well, him preventing Harrison from actually fulfilling his side of the deal.
Wow. So by trying to enforce that missed payment, he actually ended up hurting his own case.
Exactly. And this just highlights the importance of not, you know, jumping the gun and taking matters into your own hands. Always, always consult with an attorney to figure out the right legal way to go about things.
So what exactly does Louisiana law actually say about ending these kinds of agreements, these servitudes?
Ah, that's where Article 753 of the Louisiana Civil Code comes into play. This article spells out the very specific ways that these personal servitudes can be terminated. And it essentially says you can't just easily take away someone's right to use your property unless they've like completely abandoned it for a super long time, like 10 years, or if the property itself gets destroyed, of course.
And well, neither of those things applied to Harrison, so his rights were protected.
Precisely. And this is a major takeaway for anyone who's, you know, dealing with property agreements in Louisiana. If the contract isn't crystal clear about exactly how and when a servitude can be terminated, the courts are generally going to side with the person whose property is burdened by it.
And we're back. Still digging into McCormick v. Harrison, this super interesting case that really highlights how powerful precise contract language can be, especially when we're talking about property rights in Louisiana. Before we took a break, we were discussing Article 753 of the Louisiana Civil Code and, you know, how it protects these servitudes. Can you maybe expand a bit on what exactly the court zeroed in on in this article?
Oh, absolutely. The appeals court really emphasized that these personal servitudes, just like the one granted to Harrison, they're considered real rights under Louisiana law. It basically means they're like solid legal entitlements, you know, not something you can just easily brush aside. They're really protected.
So even though Harrison missed that one payment, his real right to use the racetrack didn't just disappear.
Exactly. The court made this clear distinction between, you know, the existence of the servitude itself and the obligation to actually pay for using it. They said that while Harrison definitely had a contractual duty to make those monthly payments, not doing so didn't just automatically wipe out his existing right to use the track.
Okay, that makes sense. But wouldn't McCormick still have grounds to, you know, maybe pursue some legal action to get those unpaid fees?
Of course, absolutely. The court pointed out that McCormick had other legal options at his disposal, you know, ways to address that breach of contract. He could have sued Harrison for the mispayment, or maybe even sought to formally modify the agreement to include, like, stricter consequences for any future non-payment.
So it sounds like McCormick kind of jumped the gun by trying to just terminate the whole agreement. He could have handled things differently.
It seems that way, yeah. And it really underscores the importance of, you know, carefully considering all your options and talking to a lawyer before you do something drastic.
You've mentioned resolutory conditions a few times now. Can you break that down for me a little? It sounds a bit intimidating, to be honest.
Oh, no, no. It's actually simpler than it might sound. Basically, a resolutory condition is just like a clause in a contract that acts like a tripwire. If a specific event happens, boom, the agreement automatically ends. Like, imagine you lease a car, right? And the contract says if you don't make your payments, they can just take it back. That's a resolutory condition.
Oh, okay. I get it. So in McCormick v. Harrison, what the court decided was that the missed payment wasn't a resolutory condition because the original agreement didn't specifically say that it would, like, automatically end the servitude, right?
Exactly. And this is where those precise words in the agreement become so important. If McCormick had wanted the power to terminate the servitude just because of a missed payment, that condition needed to be spelled out clearly without any room for interpretation right there in the original document.
Wow. This case really drives home the point that lawyers need to be incredibly careful when they're drafting these types of agreements. It seems like one tiny mistake could have huge consequences.
Absolutely. Ambiguity can lead to these really expensive legal battles. And especially in Louisiana, the courts are very, very careful about protecting those property rights, unless, of course, the agreement explicitly says otherwise.
So let's say you're a lawyer and you're advising a client who is considering granting a servitude on their property.
Yeah.
What are some, like, key takeaways from McCormick v. Harrison? What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, first and foremost, clarity, clarity, clarity. Don't leave anything open to interpretation. You have to spell out the exact nature of the servitude, how long it will last, the payment terms, and this is super important, what happens if someone doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. If you want to be able to potentially terminate the agreement because of a missed payment, you have to say that directly.
Okay, what else should people keep in mind?
It's super important to understand the specific laws about servitudes in your area, right? Remember, Louisiana system, this civil law system, it works differently. So if you're dealing with a property case there, you really need to understand all those relevant parts of the civil code, like that Article 753 we were just talking about.
It sounds like getting some solid legal advice is essential in these situations.
Oh, absolutely. Navigating property law, especially with things like servitudes, can be really tricky. Having a knowledgeable lawyer by your side can save you a lot of trouble down the line.
This whole deep dive is really eye-opening. It shows how these seemingly simple disputes can become so incredibly complex when you factor in property rights, contracts, and Louisiana's unique legal system. But we're not finished yet. There's still a lot more to explore. And we're back. We've been really getting into the nitty-gritty of McCormick v. Harrison, you know, exploring all those nuances of servitudes, contract language, and of course, Louisiana's one-of-a-kind legal system. But I think it's time to zoom out a little bit and think about the bigger picture. What are, like, the broader takeaways from this case? Does any of this stuff apply beyond, you know, just racetracks and property disputes?
You know, that's what makes this case so fascinating. The principles we see at play in McCormick v. Harrison, they can actually apply to a whole bunch of different legal agreements. Think about things like commercial leases, easements, even contracts for services. Those core concepts we've been talking about, you know, clear language, understanding the difference between consideration and a condition for termination, and really knowing the specific laws that govern these types of agreements, those are relevant pretty much everywhere.
So you're saying even if I'm not specifically dealing with property law, there are still lessons to be learned from this case.
Absolutely. Let's say, for example, you're running a small business and you're about to sign a lease for a storefront. What happens if you're a little late on your rent payment? Does the lease automatically terminate, or does the landlord have to go through a certain process to evict you? These are important things to know.
That's a really good point. I definitely wouldn't want to just assume anything and then end up in some kind of legal battle because I didn't fully understand the terms of the lease.
That's right. And this case really highlights how crucial it is to have all those details spelled out clearly right there in the agreement just to avoid potential problems down the road.
So no matter what kind of contract I'm signing, I need to make sure I read all that fine print carefully and really understand what my rights and obligations are.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask questions. If something seems unclear or like it could be interpreted in multiple ways, get some clarification. It's always better to be safe than sorry, especially when you're dealing with legal stuff that could have some pretty big financial or even personal consequences.
Now, we've been focusing on Louisiana law throughout this deep dive, but I'm curious, how might the outcome of McCormick v. Harrison have been different if it had been decided in a state that follows a common law system instead? Would it have made a difference?
Well, that's a really interesting question. It's tough to say for sure how another court would have ruled, but common law systems, they put a lot more emphasis on precedent. You know, that means judges often look back at rulings in similar cases to help them make their decisions. But in Louisiana, remember, judges tend to lean more heavily on the actual codified law, which you find in the civil code.
So it's possible a common law court might have sided with McCormick, even though the agreement wasn't super clear about the consequences of missing a payment.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. And it's important to keep in mind that different states have different laws and different ways of interpreting things when it comes to property rights and contracts. So the outcome of a case like this could vary a lot depending on where it ends up being heard.
It just goes to show how important it is to really understand the specific legal landscape wherever you are. What might be a clear-cut case in one state could be a totally different story somewhere else.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why having access to good legal information and, you know, reliable expertise is so important. Whether it's property, contracts, or any other area of the law, getting guidance from a qualified legal professional can really make all the difference.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We started with the specifics of McCormick v. Harrison, then explored some of the broader implications for all sorts of agreements, and even touched on the differences between civil law and common law systems. I hope our listeners are feeling a little more prepared to navigate the sometimes confusing world of legal agreements.
I hope so too. And remember, if you're ever facing a legal issue or just have some questions about your rights and responsibilities, don't hesitate to reach out to a legal expert.
Great advice. A little legal knowledge can go a long way. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into McCormick v. Harrison. We'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.